Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Lonnie, the theater lady, back on Berg Vivant. What's going on?
Well, in my life, or what theater have I seen? Let's be specific.
Well,
here.
Let's go with the shorter, which would be what theater have you seen?
Okay, I just saw Of Mice and Men at the Rep in Oakland, and it was a totally compelling and riveting show from start to finish.
Well, that's good news. I think that's what they aim for, presenting a drama on stage. Now, this we've all read in grade school, at least I think I did, the John Steinbeck novel. This, I suppose, is a play adaptation of that. Had you ever read the book?
Actually, no.
Really?
I'm embarrassed to say I hadn't read the book. I hadn't seen the movie. This was totally fresh to me.
It might not have been out yet when you were in grade school.
Well, actually,
John Steinbeck was just a little tyke.
Did you know he was a migrant worker himself?
I did not know that.
Yes, when he was in high school, he did migrant farm work.
So that could be where a lot of the...
I think some of the ideas for this show came. It was one of the most powerful performances that I've seen in a long time. I forgot to breathe sometimes.
Well, not completely, obviously.
And no, I made
that.
It.
Yes,
but
very good.
I was so completely engrossed in what was happening on that stage, and the acting was absolutely magnificent. Mm. The character of Lenny, who is the big kind of galoot.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. These are classic characters. We see them parodied all the time. George and Lenny, the kind of like smaller wise talker and the big, you know, brute that's, you know, maybe not, you know, playing with a full deck up here.
No,
you know?
He was very...
The muscle and the brains, you know.
Exactly.
Yep.
He was very childlike. I don't know what word we would use, maybe mentally challenged, but yet still able to function. Mm. And that was played by Leandro Cano, and it would have been so easy, I think, to play this character as just a big bloom, 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 but he got into the complexities of this character and made him so multi-layered and so sympathetic that you just, as an audience member, you just had to love him and you just wanted to hug him. And the way Leandro Cano kept his features kind of slack, it made the character of Lenny even more believable and real.
Certainly not overdone, an honest performance,
no,
I think.
No, very honest performance. And then George was a perfect foil. He was played by Jared DiGiorgi. And as big and slow as Lenny was, George was cagey and quick and agile and sharp and always thinking and always on his feet. And their friendship that they had was the most beautiful and believable part of this show. It started out where I wasn't quite sure what their friendship was, because George seemed a little irritated with Lenny, but as the show developed and their friendship blossomed, even though this was a very tragic story, it was so beautiful. It was a beautiful story.
I don't know why, but I remember when I read this book many, many years ago, for some reason I always pictured George as Moe from the Three Stooges.
You know, because he was always sort of the, the crass one, you know, and probably if there was a clever one in the group, it was probably him, you know. I have no idea why.
He was clever, but he had a heart, and he really, really looked out for Lenny. And one of the other characters, Curly, was played by Luke Halfordy, and he is only a senior at Point Park. And he did a great job. He played Curly.
And Curly, if I remember correctly, is like their boss, right? He's like
he's the boss's son.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that gives
which
him
which is even worse.
Yes. Gives him this sense of arrogance and power that he totally abuses. He has a wife who's not even named. It's Curly's wife. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the character. And she was the only female on the whole cast, and she was supposed to have been a tart.
No.
That's how they described her. However, the theme of loneliness ran through this whole play, and she was just really lonely.
No.
It was Erin Lindsay Crome, and she was also a sympathetic and very likable character. There was a dog in the show.
Oh, you know, that's hard to pull off, because it's tough to appear on stage with kids and animals.
And
you
know? It was a bloodhound named Copper.
Wow. And how was Copper's performance?
Actually, I was thinking about it, and I thought, I have to mention what a good actor he was. And it's like, no, he was a dog. He was just very well-behaved, very laid back. And a bloodhound has such a sad face, which perfectly fit in with the role. He wasn't acting. That was his face. But really.
Very good reputation he has. He works like a dog.
Yes, indeed he does. And he was the dog that belonged to Candy.
I wonder if he got equity minimum for this.
I never thought of that.
And if he was, you know, got his 5-minute breaks every half hour or something. We'll have to look at
that. He looked like he was always on break. He was just very laid back.
Oh, good for him. Good for him.
Candy was played by John McManus. Hmm. And he, too, was a very sympathetic character who was hoping for a better future, as were most of the characters in the play. That's, I think, even though it was very heavy, very serious drama, the hope that most of them had for something better ahead is what kept them going. Huh? And the other actor I'd like to mention is David Whalen. He played Slim, and you know what a great actor he is. He always is. And he was the character that was just about the only one that had it all together, kind of. And everybody looked up to him and took his advice and followed what he said. And he was so real in that part, which kind of surprised me because I've seen him do so many roles. And this was kind of a really rough guy with soft edges. And he performed that very well, too.
Great.
And I would highly recommend this show, not just for the brilliant writing and the directing, by the way. Did I tell you who directed this?
Tell me.
Robert A. Miller. That might not mean anything to you. Probably does.
It does to me, but share for those who might not be getting the bell ringing with that name.
Well, he's a very, very prolific director, producer in Hollywood. He's also a playwright, and he directed another show here in 2008 at The Rep, which just happened to be Death of a Salesman, that was written by his father.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yes, he is the son of Arthur Miller,
right.
Who many of us may recognize that name. I saw Miller do a lecture once. It was a great experience.
I'll bet. He'd be very
interesting.
Directed
by Jim Miller.
Robert A. Miller.
Robert A. Miller, yes.
And did I forget anybody? It was such a wonderful cast. I didn't really tell the plot. Do you think everybody knows the plot? Everybody knows the plot. Okay, but the plot isn't even really what it was about. It was about oppression and jealousy and loyalties and fear.
And it's friendship. Got all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's not a farce by any means. There's not too much laughter.
Well,
happening.
My version of mimosas and martinis is a comedy, by the way.
Okay, there you go.
Never mind.
great. But this is a show that I think stays with you because I've been thinking about it since I've seen it, and it addresses the human condition with such eloquence and tenderness that I can't imagine anybody could see it without being totally moved and perhaps even changed.
I want to be moved. I want to be changed daily and frequently.
I don't know about that.
Like a baby. So I'll check it out, perhaps, at the rep of the Pittsburgh Planet.
Until September 21st.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.